My name is Aurel Miller, and I've got a great podcast for you this afternoon. We have had a guest editor of Click on Wales on a series of articles for infrastructure just before Christmas 2018. We're going to be talking about the National Infrastructure Commission for Wales this afternoon. It was established last year as an independent, non-statutory advisory body to Welsh ministers, whose key purpose will be to analyse, advise and make recommendation on Wales's longer term strategic, economic and environment infrastructure needs. The establishment of that body is now happening. John Lloyd-Jones has been appointed as its chair, and the 11 commissioners from a variety of sectors. The key questions for it is, what are Wales's infrastructure needs and what should be our priorities? Like I said last autumn, we hosted a series of blogs curated by Ed Evans from SECA, the Civil Engineering Contractors Association, exploring the central question, and I'm delighted to invite the author of those blogs here today to continue the discussion. I'm going to ask each of you to introduce yourselves in turn. Ed.
Thanks, Aurel. I'm Ed Evans, Director of the Civil Engineering Contractors Association. And I guess we've been campaigning for quite some time to get this commission established. Really just to give us some direction for the future and to highlight some of those priorities and how we're going to pay for some of these things to ultimately improve our economy, our prosperity, ourselves as a nation, I guess.
I'm David Clubb. I'm the Director of Renewable UK in Wales, and I also am the Head of Digital for Renewable UK, which is also a really important part of the infrastructure discussion.
Great, thank you.
Hello, I'm Rodri Thomas, and I'm the consultant for Cynwyl Cymru Sustain Wales. And since 2016, Cynwyl Cymru has taken an interest in the future of cars and transport within the context of sustainable development.
Great.
And I'm Josh Miles, Policy Manager at the Federation of Small Businesses. And my interest in infrastructure really is how Wales is 250,000 small firms make use of our infrastructure every day to make their business a success.
Okay, great. So we've got a really great spread of interests in the room today. We're going to look first at how we want the National Infrastructure Commission for Wales to be working first, and then move on to the specifics of what we think the body should be doing. So Ed, we, the RWA, held an infrastructure event in 2017. And Russell George, who's chair of the National Assembly's Economy, Skills and Infrastructure Committee, said that what the arm's length commission promises is to allow a long-term view and ambition uninhibited by political mundanities. How should the commission go about setting their priorities?
Well, I think from the outset, as I said, we've campaigned quite long and hard to get this commission established so that we can focus on some of the priorities for Wales. I think some would say we've perhaps got a bit of a vested interest in it, being the Contractors Association. But I think we're taking a much more of a broader look at this. So we probably haven't quite got the commission we were thinking we would get, but what we've got is we need to make it work now. And I think for us, the ability of the commission to tap into not so much people like us, but the broader cross-section of the population in Wales, because coming back to what Josh said, for this commission to work correctly, we need to link the infrastructure requirements with what we need as a society, as people in Wales, and we need to be very focused on how that is going to improve us from an economic perspective, a social perspective, and safeguard our environment as well. So
the English version is setting its priorities in five-year chunks from 5 to 30 years. Is that the way that you think the Wales version should be going?
I guess we were looking initially a little bit shorter than that, but realistically, some of the issues that are affecting us now are going to affect us for the next 5 to 30 years. So we're a little bit more comfortable with that longer term look. It's, I guess, how it breaks down into bite-sized chunks. The UK Commission focuses on some specific priority areas, very, very specific actually. And I would argue that we perhaps need to take a more holistic view initially. So we are pulling in energy, electric cars, business requirements, rather than being a little bit too focused on a piece of infrastructure.
So that inclusive conversation needs to happen, and that inclusive shared setting of priorities. Bright ideas for how to make that happen?
I think, to be honest, we've already got a framework for how to approach this in the Future Generations legislation. Yep. So, you know, the headline there is long-term thinking. I think why not start off with a 30-year vision? You know, what does Wales's infrastructure look like 30 years from now? And then, as Ed says, you need regular kind of staging posts and updates on that. So 5 years, maybe a good starting point. probably timed to the middle of an assembly term, so that advice is depoliticised a little bit. But really, it needs to be thinking about those long-term strategic trends that are going to change in infrastructure. And fundamentally, it needs to be about the people that are going to use infrastructure. So part of that is not necessarily fixating on, you know, shiny projects, but looking at the real day-to-day stuff as well. In terms of how, go out and ask people about it, go out and speak to people about it. You know, engagement isn't an easy thing to do. It takes the hard yards, but the only way you can do it is by going out and doing it. You know, it's there's no proxy, there's no shortcuts. You've just got to go out and speak to people.
There's a challenge, though, isn't there, in terms of how those priorities and recommendations can weather the scale and the pace of change in terms of technology. David, how do you see things working out on that front? Because I think you're absolutely right in terms of wellbeing of future generations.
Well, I'd agree with Josh in that the 30-year perspective is a perfect opportunity to test the efficacy of the Wellbeing Future Generations Act. The other thing I would say on engagement is that the commissioners have already been advised that they need to go out and consult with their communities, and I've had the pleasure of meeting one of them. And I was very pleased to see how open they were to challenge and to constructive criticism about the current state of Welsh infrastructure. I think the point of regular renewals on a 5-yearly basis, let's say, is logical when you look at the timetable for the National Development Framework, which, let's not forget, has also got a large part to play within the discussion about infrastructure. And yes, depoliticisation, I think we can all agree on, is very helpful. The nature of infrastructure and engineering challenges means that we will have to adopt and consider new ways of doing things, and evidence of the problems that come to light. Of course, that's going to change very regularly. Climate change just being one of the many drivers that we're going to face. So as things change, that potentially a five-year review opportunity gives us and businesses the chance to shape how we look at our infrastructure in Wales.
So, Rodri, there are some trade-offs here, aren't there?
Well, I just wanted to come in and say that further to what David and Josh have just said, the cycle built into the Wellbeing of Future Generations Act requires a future trends report on a 5-year basis. So I'd like to see the Commission working with that future trends report, anticipating the good things, the evolving technology, as well as the bad things like the climate predictions.
There have been one or two of those future trends reports so far, haven't there?
Yeah, but so I presume as the Act beds in, these reports will become more sophisticated and more useful, not to say that the ones previously haven't been, but yeah.
Yeah, okay. But coming back to this issue about trade-offs, because I think there will be lots of things that we might all want to see happen. I mean, discussions obviously in around infrastructure in Wales have, in recent years, this might be a somewhat of an understatement, been dominated by the still pending decision on the M4 relief road. A road's really where we should be investing our efforts.
No.
Are there projects that are these big ones? I mean, Josh has already talked about the people side of things, and we'll come back to that in a minute, but are these big projects the likely focus for the new commission?
We did some work for Cardiff Council on transport, and just looking at Cardiff alone, never mind the rest of Wales, we have to decarbonise transport in Wales, and we have to get people out of their cars, and that is a huge cultural challenge. But you're not going to give up the comfort of your car unless there is an attractive alternative, and that is an infrastructure challenge as much as a behaviour change or marketing challenge.
Yeah, we talked about that in the RW paper that we did on decarbonising transport last June, in June 2018. So that cultural shift is really difficult to make it happen. Josh?
I think you're absolutely right to mention the M4 as a good case study in this respect, in that the discussion over the M4 proceeded without that holistic look that we want the infrastructure to look at. So we know, for example, the metro wasn't taken into proper consideration, which is a public transport measure. Therefore, you ended up with quite skewed transport figures that led to a lot of debate, a lot of political angst around the issue. And as a result, we're still waiting for a decision. And should that decision end up in the M4 relief road not happening, we're none the wiser as to what happens next. So that's the whole point of having a commission, is to bring in that kind of broader set of issues, to consider those things in the round, set a route map that then the politicians can haggle over as to what we do next with?
With grit and drive is what we want as well. Yeah. Haggling over with grit and drive.
Your original question about trends and whether roads are the way forward. I mean, there may be instances where roads are exactly what we need to do. I know from one of the statistics we've seen recently from SMEs, it's fascinating, is 80% of SMEs say they absolutely rely on their car or van. Quite a high figure, okay? So, you know, there's a long way to go to get public transport to make inroads to that. But on the other hand, 99% say that the internet is absolutely fundamental to their business. And we see more and more people working from home and having their employees work from home. And these are trends that are going to play out over a longer time. So, you know, really you want an infrastructure commission to grab hold of some of these things and not just, you know, passively say this is the trend, set out the roadmap a little bit and say what Welsh Government can do and what we can do in civil society to try and influence that roadmap as well.
Yes, it's going to be a both and situation there, isn't it? Let's come back to the other theme that came out of that infrastructure conference 18 months ago, which was infrastructure as place making, not those great big set pieces. Initiatives that can invigorate communities and inform people's lived experiences. There was a great quote at our conference, which is you start with people. You don't start with procurement. Nobody talks about betterment for people, but it's what this stuff is for. How can we shift that conversation?
I think we've taken a really positive step in that direction with the latest edition of Planning Policy Wales,
yeah.
Which puts place at the heart of decision making and emphasises the livability, the usability, I think, of place in general. It's a shame that it's taken us this long to get to that point in Welsh planning, but I think that's a massive step forward. Just to come back to the relevance of commissions in this, of course we're still yet to see how the Infrastructure Commission takes a view or provides advice, but one of the heartening things for me in this whole discussion about the M4 was the role that the Future Generations Commission played in that, which was to provide a very critical riposte to the Welsh Government report and then commission its own research, which suggested ways in which that approach could be taken very differently. So if the Commission... the Infrastructure Commission can also provide that kind of very robust, challenging role to Welsh Government and bringing it all together with the Future Generations. I think we're on for some really interesting discussions which genuinely do take us in a direction which is acceptable and amenable to people who, yes, care about place and simultaneously thinks about the big picture.
So what's the first thing that you'd like to see coming out of the National Infrastructure Commission?
Well, I think I'll pick up on a couple of points there around transitioning. I think from where we are now to where we could be or should be or ought to be in the future. I think for the commission itself, there's some real expertise in that commission. There's a danger there that commission gets bogged down in the individual bits of expertise and it becomes a little bit, you know, my bit is energy. That's where we need to go. It needs to be far more holistic. And that's going to be a real challenge, I think, for the chair. To mould that group of people. I will come back just to the M4 as well, because I think had the discussion happened far earlier with the Future Generations Commissioner, we may well have ended up in exactly the same place, but I think it would have engaged people far more in the process. And I think there's a lesson there for the National Infrastructure Commission. They need to be doing that engagement as well. So not just giving their expertise, but actually managing some of the changes that we as a population are going to have to go through at some point. So I'd probably like them to take a more of a holistic view first off, rather than get too engrossed in bits of the whole infrastructure story. Let's have that holistic discussion first of all, and then we'll agree where we need to prioritise over the next few months or years.
I suppose the other bit is to show a bit of ambition as well, because I think, you know, we really could do something interesting here in Wales in lots of areas if we did have that holistic view. In the past, we've done things quite piecemeal. So if you look at broadband, for example, Wales was, you know, a major laggard. We were way behind the rest of the UK in terms of...
And we still are in terms of 5G, aren't we?
And this is the point I was going to make. So if you look at fixed broadband, we've jumped over the crowd there. We're now at the front of the pack because we invested in it. We had a bit of vision as to how that would benefit Wales and the economy, but we didn't look at mobile. And that's something that you see these patches in different bits of infrastructure and different bits of that conversation. And a commission could really pull those in together and say, actually, there's a bigger vision we're going for here, and this is how those different bits fit into the bigger whole.
So there's we've only got a couple of minutes left, but in terms of key messages to come out of this, what I'm hearing is one of those things around join up. Are we set up to work collaboratively like that? Because we say this a lot, don't we? We say, yes, let's have the ambition. Yes, we know what we want to do. But actually, do people exhibit the behaviours and attitudes and put the common interest first as opposed to their vested or sectoral interests to one side to enable that to happen? So, David, in your article, you talked about the challenges of the capacity of the Mid Wales grid, for instance, and suggested piggybacking new energy infrastructure with 5G networks, what Josh has just been talking about, for instance. Are we set up to work like this? Who's doing that exploratory thinking about, what would happen if we did this?
I think it's challenging because the coordination between often private sector developers and public sector commissioners of different types of service are not yet fully engaged in that. Now, one of the intentions of the Future Generations Act was to allow those discussions to take place. But at the moment, as useful as they are, I suspect the public service boards, which could potentially provide part of that role of saying, okay, well, we've got electric infrastructure going in, can we put in cycle paths? Can we do other interesting things? The private sector perhaps is not at the table there, so there's a piece of that jigsaw missing, and maybe the Infrastructure Commission can provide some of that private sector input and additional steer to the public service boards. Because those sorts of outcomes would be exactly what the intention of the Wellbeing and Future Generations Act was supposed to provide.
So it's a very different level of engagement then, isn't it, for the Commission to think about how it engages with those PSEBs, those private public sector boards at a regional level. Okay, I'm going to finish by asking your top tip for the National Commission, National Infrastructure Commission.
Well, we've talked about placemaking and listening to the others, I've been thinking about the work that Dŵr Cymru has been doing in the Rhondda Fach, where they had to replace water mains, and they used that as an opportunity to add greater value to the community rather than just be a nuisance who is digging up the road. They are looking for ways that vital piece of infrastructure can add additional benefits, or the replacement of the infrastructure can add additional benefits. So I'd like to see the Commission highlight good practice like that and facilitate other organisations to learn from those who've done exemplar projects.
That's a great example, thank you.
I'd like to see them, back to people in place really, I'd like to see them getting out there. By all means, talk to the experts and all the institutions and all those wonderful bodies, but get to different parts of Wales and find out what people really want in their area. Now, it won't necessarily all knit together, but it's a good starting point to have a discussion, to understand what we need in that locality, and then how can we actually deliver it, and do we want to, and do we want to affect some of those dramatic changes perhaps in the future? But we've got to bring people with us on this, so we need to understand what people want.
Building that consensus and listening. Josh?
I would say take the consensus, take the engagement, turn it into that vision, and have a bit of ambition, really. That's what I'd like to see from the Commission. It needs to be bounded in, you know, reality. It shouldn't be pie in the sky, but a bit of ambition would go a long way on infrastructure conversations.
Thank you. David?
And I think that we can see there's some real technical competence on that Commission. What I would say was, if we have the best communicators in Wales within that Commission, all of this other stuff will come from it. So communication should be at the forefront the whole time they're discussing these technical aspects.
So a call to both inspire and renew that engagement and that commitment from people to engage with what the issues really are.
Indeed, yeah.
Great. Thank you very much indeed, everybody.
Thank you.